All right, morning, people. Welcome.
We should have gotten an invitation.
It's okay. This morning is Daf, Nintes in Bechoros. We're back on Nunches. We're on Nunches Amar Aleph, so we got to move ahead a little bit today. I got stuck on Rav Yanai. I got so excited by that discussion, Rav Yanai, and Ben Azai. And Ben Azai said that the entire world to him is Keklipas Hashem. It's like the peel of a garlic, and except for the Kerech, except for the bald one. And yesterday we discussed who exactly is that bald one, and I went through a good part of Tosos yesterday with Tosos, although he quotes Rashi, and he says that according to Rashi, the Kerech is Rabbi Kiva, and there's a lot of support for that, but at the same time, however, Tosos cannot, Rabbinatam cannot possibly imagine that the person we're talking about is Rabbi Akiva. Okay? And therefore, Ben Azai has a suffix. In other words, we know the first Mishnah of Rosh Hashanah tells us that Machlokis amongst the Tanayim, whether the Rosh Chodesh Elul is Rosh Hashanah for Maisa Behema, or Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for Maisa Behema. Ben Azai says, I simply can't decide. Remember the Gemara yesterday said, Ben Azai, you're a smart guy. You should be able to figure it out. But Ben Azai, nevertheless, to him it was all Nevuah. That was the Lashon HaGemara that we used yesterday. It was all Nevuah to him, so he really didn't understand, he didn't know, and he couldn't figure out. So any animal that was born in the month of Elul, according to Ben Azai, is a separate animal, meaning it's separate from the before Elul animals, it's separate before the after Elul animals, and it's kept independent, it's kept totally independent. Okay? And that's where we got to yesterday. Okay. Tanya, we are in the Braisa, we're on Nunches Amud Aleph. We're about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud Tanya. Be'ezetzad Amar Ben Azai ha'alulim entasun la'atzman. So the Gemara now is going to give a scenario, complicated scenario, according to Ben Azai. Because remember, for Ben Azai's accounting, Elul's kept independent. So now let's have the following. Nodu lo heba av, veheba Elul, eimet starfin. Okay, so we'll start off nice and easy. So five are born in the month of Av, five are born in the month of Elul. For Ben Azai, no good. They don't count. Now, by the way, it comes out as a leniency. Everyone understand? It's a kula. Because now that means that you don't have to take off Maisa Behema, because those are independent. Hebel, Veheba Tishrei, Emet Starfin. Okay, let's go over another simple scenario. Five are born in the month of Elul, five are born in Tishrei. So again, same story. Emet Starfin, they do not combine. Heba Tishrei, Veheba Av, Mitstarfin. Okay, so if I have five born in the month of Tishrei and five born in the month of Av, so that's Mitstarif. Okay, that's not a great year. It's a pretty slow year. In other words, so 10 animals over the total of the year, but one is born in, five of them are born in Tishrei, and then 10 months later, five are born in Av. Okay, that'll be Mitzarif. So Gemara says, Pshita, so Gemara says, okay, so far, everything that's been set up until now, it's pretty obvious, right? Nothing that exciting. So, Kihech, Demavske, Shnai, Mefsake, Granos, Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, as a Havamina, I might have thought that, look, we talked about the checkpoints. Yesterday we had our three checkpoints. Of our three checkpoints that we spoke about yesterday, so they are basically Chachamim's way of encouraging you to stop three times in the middle of the year. Someone gave me a good analogy yesterday. It was like estimated taxes, right? Yeah, right. Very right. Excellent. So it's like your estimated taxes, so your quarterlies. So Chachamim gave you 3 points during the year where you got to check and you got to basically say now, okay, I got to do it. Those are what we called the Grunos yesterday. Now, from the Grunos standpoint, so I might have thought they're mafsik, meaning just like the first day of Tishrei or the first day of Elul, depending on who you hold, like just like they're hard dates. And they are not, you can't combine animals born before and after. I might have thought, as a Havamina, the Grunos are the same thing. In other words, those are checkpoints before and after, cannot combine the two. Kamash Malan, that's a Chiddush. Kedinan. Chamish lefnei Rosh Hashanah, chamish la'achar Rosh Hashanah, mitzarfin, chamish lefnei garen, v'chamish la'achar garen, hari elu mitzarfin. Good. Okay, so far so good. Everything is very straightforward. Now we're going to get a little complicated. Amar Rava, ledivrei Ben Azai. Rava says, I'd like to make the following suggestion. According to Ben Azai, noldu lo chamisha ba'av, v'chamisha be'elav, v'chamisha betishrei. Okay, watch. I got five born in the month of Av, five born in the month of Elul, five born in the month of Tishrei. Now remember, what's Ben Azai's issue? Yeah, you're right. But Ben, you already figured it out. So you know what Ben Azai's issue is? He doesn't know which one's the real Rosh Chodesh. What's the real hard date? Is it the first day of Elul or the first day of Tishrei? Fine. Now, think about it. Five in Av, that means five definitely from last year. I'm going to now fast forward 2 months. Five in Tishrei, which means five definitely for the upcoming year, and then five in Elul. Now, the problem with Ben Azai is he doesn't know which direction to attribute it in.
Right.
Should I go to the previous year, meaning Tishrei is going to be my hard date, or should I advance it to the upcoming year, meaning Elul is going to be my hard date? Okay? Comes Ben Azai, and Ben Azai says, Rava says within Ben Azai, if this is your scenario, 5, 5, and 5, so now, mimanafshach. Meaning, I'll look at those five middle guys and I'll say, I don't know which way to go, but I can, right, but they can go somewhere.
Right.
I can attribute them either to the month before or the month after. So, konsel nadir l'saser. So, you'll take all 15, it's bizarre, and you'll be master, v'notel echad min ha'elulin. And you take one of the elul animals. Now, this is a little bit tricky. That's why it's a little bit tricky. Now, this is a little bit tricky. Why? Because we mentioned before, right? You can't manipulate. Meaning that when you have those animals come out randomly, and you're not allowed to manipulate. Now, in this scenario, you would want one of the LL animals, because it's only those animals that could go either way.
Right.
Could either go to the Tishrei or could go back to the Av. But on the other hand, you're not allowed to manipulate. Now, this is discussed amongst the Rishonim. There's a short tosis over here. Ain shaych lesser kam shem lo yivaker kid asar afuke ba mom bereish asar bereish pirkin. So tosis makes a suggestion. Tosis is not the first time he made the suggestion in the Masechta that the only issue of lo yivaker is blemished animals. Meaning blemished animals, you're not allowed to manipulate. You would want, okay. I guess it depends on how much you want to go to the Beis HaMikdash. But you would want, or not go to the Beis HaMikdash, but you would want the Baal Mum to come out number 10, so that way you don't have to go up to the Beit Yerushalayim, you don't have to go up to the Beis HaMikdash, I mean you could stay home. So there the Torah says, lo yivakir, meaning that you can't manipulate. But over here, what are you manipulating? Meaning, it's not an issue of Baal Mum versus non-Baal Mum. Over here it's just an issue of, I need one of those five that are born in Elul, I need one of those to come out. Okay, so there, Tosos makes a suggestion that you are allowed to manipulate. So, interesting. The lo yivakir is not as absolute as originally we once upon a time thought.
Okay, so you're saying that you don't have them go out of pen, you just leave them all in the pen and you can't want to
see. Yeah, okay.
Make sure that you figure this one.
Right, let's go. Right, we'll talk a little bit more about that later on this morning, whether you could do that. Okay. And then the Gemara just simply spells all this out. So Amaya Martlet Sarfa Lagarin Acher. And the Gemara says, and what are you gonna do? You're gonna wait for another checkpoint? Asiri Vadai Amarachman of Alo Safek. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that you can't do because of Siri Vadai. Because in other words, when you say the 10th, it has to be a definitive 10th. You have to know absolutely. So the Gemara says, and I might have thought, meaning all this now that Rav is saying in Ben Azai, I might have thought as a Hava, you really shouldn't do that. Why? Because who's to say that you're going to take out one of the five Elo ones? Meaning it's possible that you may take out one of the five Av ones, or you may take out one of the five Tishrei ones, and for Ben Azai, that simply won't work. You must take out one of the five Elo ones. So consequently, you have to. I might have thought to make a gzera, and the Gemara says that's the chiddush of Rava, that we're not going to make such a gzera. Okay, and here we are. We're now at the Mishnah, and we're going to get to the count. So the Mishnah starts off be'ezetzad ma'asrin. So from what side do you start taking off ma'aser? Konsan ledir. So you start off by putting all the animals in a pen. Va'osa lahem pesach katan. Make a small entrance now going out. Kedei shelo yishnayim yichom latzeis ka'achas. You don't want two to come out at the same time. Umonim. And now you start counting. Echad beis gimel dala hevav zayin ches tes. Okay. 1 through 9. Vayotzi asiri. Now the 10th animal of the month that comes out. Soker besikra. So you mark it. You mark it with like a red paint. Vaomer. Harezem maser. And you simply say, okay, this is maser. Simple. Lo sikra besikra v'lamanam b'shavit. O shemanam revutzim o'omdem hare elu misasrin. Okay, so now you know the best way to do it. From this point forward now, we're basically going to talk about what if. A whole bunch of what ifs. So we'll start off with the easy what ifs. What if you didn't mark it with a red marker? Meaning the 10 that come out, you count 1 through 9, and 10 comes out, and you missed it with the red marker. Okay, so the Mishnah says, that's fine. What if lo manu b'shavet. Right, the Torah, when describing you counting it, it says kol yavor tachas hashavet. Everything that goes under the staff. You're holding a staff. You're a shepherd. Tools of the trade. Okay, so you're holding a staff in your hand. What if you don't have a staff? Okay, that's not ma'akev as well. Okay, oshamanim revutzim. What if they're not walking? Right. The Torah describes that they are ya'avor. They're passing by. But what if they're not? So the Mishnah says that's okay as well. Oh, omdim hare elu mit'asrin. Okay, so it still has a shame meister. Hayolomea v'natal asar v'natal echad and ein zeh meister. But here's what you can't do. Let's say you have 100 animals. You know you have 100 animals. You took inventory. So you already know you have 100 animals. And now, 10%. Okay, so I'll take out 10 animals.
Without counting.
Right. That doesn't work. Okay, you got to count. Counting is an essential part. Well, even if they're, in other words, let's say they're even walking around. There's got to be a count. There has to be a minion. If there's no minion, it doesn't work. So even if I know there are 100, I have inventory, I know there's 100, and I just simply take 10 out, that doesn't work, says the Mishnah. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Maser. And Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, no, even that would work. Okay. Kafatz echad min haminuyin l'sochan. Now, let's say you have a jump. Okay. After having animals now come out of the pen and you're counting, one of the ones that are counted goes back and jumps back in. Now, far from me to imagine that we're talking about cows, as my trip to the farm two weeks ago can already tell you, they're not. This is sheep. This is goat. This has got to be something other than cows. Yeah, but you have a jumper. So when the one jumps back in, the remaining ones are going to be potter. Okay, interesting. Why should that be?
Because you don't know which one is a suffix.
Okay, good. We'll come back to that. It's an important question. We'll come back to that. Minha me'usarin l'sochan. Let's say like this. Let's say 1 through 10 come out. And now you count 1 through 9. You count number 10, even... Now, I won't say you marked it with a red marker, because if you did, this issue would never come up. You'd be able to identify the 10th. Let's say you just counted the 10th one. He comes out, and then he jumps back in. And now your 10th gets mixed up with all the other animals.
You don't know. That's worse.
Now, that's going to be, right? Phil's right on the money. That's going to be worse.
Because now you have each one.
Right. Now you have a possible carbon mixed up with the other animals. Okay. Bittel. No bittel. Kulan yiru achi stava v'yochel b'mumman l'ba'al. Okay, so the Mishnah says, now you're going to have to wait all those animals, every one of them. Wait until they get blemished, and yochel b'mumman, you eat it once it's blemished animal, but that's all you can do. You can only eat it. You can't work it, you can't. In other words, they all are possibly suffake of the miser animal. And why don't we say bittel? It's funny, so interesting. The Gemara doesn't... Yeah, something along those lines. It's the Davar Bishabiminyan. The Gemara Nechulin says, Balei Chayim, live animals are not subject to Bittul. Meaning, Birya, I guess you could throw around as well. It's interesting. The Gemara over here, even when you get to the end of the Sugya, the Gemara doesn't mention a word about the issue of Bittul. Interesting why the Gemara doesn't talk about it. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. We start with the Gemara. The Gemara is just simply going to go now point by point through the Mishnah and get us through all the... All the different issues that comes up. Tan Rabbanan be'ezut zad ma'aser konsal nadir va'osalahem Pesach katan. You make a small entrance. Kedesh lo yishlam yichon latzis ka'achas. Okay, so the two don't come out together. Imosema b'chutz v'heme b'fneim. Okay, good. The Brice over here gives us a little detail that we didn't talk about in the Mishnah, and that's very simple. How do you lure them out? Right? How do you get those animals out of the pen? Right, so back on the farm, it's very simple. Right, watching them corral the cows, it wasn't much of a big deal. Right? Cows are pretty obedient animals, but you want here's the interesting part. You want the animals to come out of the pen, and you want them to come out pretty much on their own, meaning not to be pulled out, not to be pushed out, but pretty much on their own. So what do? You put a carrot in front of the pen. Now I say a carrot over here. I don't mean literally a carrot, but I mean something that'll draw them. So what does the Braisa suggest? Their mother. Put their mother at the entrance of the pen, and then they'll come out to the mother. Veheim mibifnim v'goos. The mother will put out some sort of guttural sound. V'yotzos l'kras iman. And they're going to go out, and they're going to go at meet their mothers outside.
Now, the mothers will not count the mother, as part of the same
year. If mom is from the same year, so that's going to be an issue. Okay. I'm with you. Okay. Okay. The Gemara wants to know. So why not just push him out? So the Gemara says, no. Ya'avor ksiv v'lo shi'aviruhu. The Torah says ya'avor, which is a active. They need to come out, and not that you pull them out. Ya'aviruhu, if you pull them out, that's hifil. That's causative. That's unacceptable. Meaning they have to come out on their own. But so now the Gemara says, what was wrong with my idea about the carrot?
Right.
I had a good idea, right? The Gemara now wants to know, what's wrong? Why not? So the Gemara says, V'lifku lusei amar Rav Huna gzeru mishum lakuach umishum yason. So Rav Huna gives a great answer. He says, look, you want, in other words, in theory, of course the carrot could work. Meaning, it doesn't matter what you use as a lure, but the Chachamim prefer the mother. Why? Because you know that an orphan animal is pater from Isa Behema, we discussed that earlier. You know that a purchased animal is exempt from Isa Behema, we learned that earlier as well. So if you have mom, so that means two things. It for sure means it's not a yassel, if mom is on the outside of the pen.
Right.
And if you have mom, it probably means also it wasn't a purchased animal. It's possible, I understand, it's possible you could have purchased the animal and the mother as well, but the likelihood is that if you have the mother, probably means that this was born on the farm. Okay.
You're assuming right. that an animal that doesn't have a mother will not go out. He sees everybody go out, he's not going to follow and go out.
In other words, the herd mentality.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, well,
I understand. In other words, it's not... I'm not sure. I don't think the halach is going to require that every single animal needs its mother. But in general, though, when you're looking at what the lure should be to get them out, so mother should be the fundamental item that... Right, that should be the most select thing because we want
only those animals.
I agree with you. In other words, if you don't have mother, if you don't have mom around, I don't think at that point in time, oh, mom's not here. Okay, fine, he's exempt. I don't think so. I think just simply as what we're going to choose as bait, mom is going to be the best, the best thing available.
So people teach the halacha.
Yeah, and while the mother's there, you'll say, oh yeah, right, Yassam is going to be pater, and Lakuch is going to be pater, and you know it'll just be. It's a way for people to remember the halacha.
But they could mark those animals. They could mark them. No, that doesn't count. That's
right. Tana Rabbanan kol asher yavor tachas prat l'treifa. Okay, we saw this before. The Gemara said this earlier. Not a treifa. Okay, not a treifa. So treifa can't walk on its own. Now remember, treifa means that one of the internal organs of the animal has been punctured or severed. The animal will die, probably within the year, although it's subject to a machlokus. And the assumption the Gemara makes regarding a treifa is that it doesn't really walk; it stumbles around.
Right.
So it's not yavor. Sheino averes tachas hashavet mitzvah lemnosam b'shavet. Now, the best thing to do is to have a shavet. Shavet over here doesn't mean tribe. Shavet over here means a staff. Torah describes you have a staff in your hand. So that's mitzvah min amuvchar. The best way to do the mitzvah is while holding the staff in your hand. So it says that the 10th animal will be kadosh, even if they didn't walk out, even if they're squatting on the ground. But as long as you go through a count, and as long as you designate the 10th animal, so the 10th animal now has kedushas ma'aser behema. Okay? There is the best way to do the mitzvah, everything we described up until now, but even afal pikein, even if that's not true, it still is going to work. The only El Shekara Shmo Asiri. Lo Karashmo Asiri Minayin. So the Gemara says, that's only if I called it 10th. What if I didn't call number 10, number 10? Minayin Tam Alamar, Yeh Kodesh Mikol Makom. So the Gemara says, Yeh Yeh. Meaning it will be Kodesh even if you don't actually assign it as Kodesh.
Did you say 11 by mistake?
Well, that's tomorrow. Tomorrow's daf. No, a little bit today. But tomorrow's daf is going to be all our, you know, what if I call 9, 10, what if I call 10, 11, what if I call 11, 10. That's all tomorrow. Right. It's like, the saving the best for last, meaning that's all tomorrow's daf and number of other extraordinarily bizarre scenarios. Okay. What if I take out the tenth but I don't count? Meaning I just simply know. I have 100 animals and I take 10 animals out. I have 10 animals and I just simply pluck out one, but I don't do a minyan, I don't do a count. So the Bryce over here is going to tell us what we already know in the Mishnah, Machlokas. Okay, the Tanakama's position is it's not going to work. Ein ze asiri, this is not the 10th animal. It doesn't have a shame, Maiser Behema, and it's simply not going to work. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer Maiser. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it is in fact Maiser. My time to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. So it's interesting. The Gemara just simply goes right past Tanakama. Tanakama's position, I guess, is self-evident. I guess that's why the Gemara doesn't even need to explain itself. Meaning, right, as Phil says, the Torah describes Ha'asiri, the tenth animal. Sounds like you've been counting all along. So without a count, so the tenth animal is not the tenth. Okay, I guess that's our explanation of the Tanakama. Not sophisticated, it doesn't have to be sophisticated. But now we get to the second opinion, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, same Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda that we saw back in the Mishnah. He says, no, even if I don't count and I just simply pluck out the 10th animal, that will work. So, Savarlei Ka'aba Elazar Ben Gomel. So he says, he holds like the following Tana. No, I haven't heard his name often throughout Shas. Rav Elazar Ben Gomel. D'tanya Abba Elazar Ben Gomel Omer, V'nechshav Lachem Chumaschem. The Torah, in describing Shuma, again, back in Parshas Korach, because that's where all your Matnos Kahuna are. So, v'nechshav lachem chumaschem, the Torah says, and you will consider, or let's call it what, you know, in the more modern Hebrew, machshava, right? You will think about your truma. So, mishtei trumas akasa medaber, achas trumas gadol, achas trumas meiser. Now, this is true for trumoseichem, trumas in the plural. So, truma gadola, that's the first percentage that you take off for the kohen. Chachamim gave it a approximate 2%. And the same thing is true, Chumas Meiser. Chumas Meiser, after you give your Meiser Rishon to a Levi, he gets 10% of the total, or of the remainder after the 2%. Then he has to take 10% of what he received and give that to the kohen. That's what's called Chumas Meiser. Kishem Sha Chumah Gedola Nitelas Ba'omed Uve Machshava Av Chumas Meiser Nitelas Ba'omed Uve Machshava. So just like by Truma Gedola, so it doesn't have to be exact. Truma Gedola could be taken what the Gemara here refers to as Omed. Omed means an approximation. Okay? You take out 2%, okay, you simply have to eyeball it. Okay? It's about 2%. Okay. So you have 1,000 grain, right? 1,000 bushels, whatever volume, whatever unit you want to use. So you eyeball it. You don't have to actually sit there and measure. Now, the same thing is true. I'm sorry, before we move on to the next point. And machshava. What does that mean? Machshava means you don't even have to say it. Just a simple machshava, simple thought itself would work vis-a-vis truma. Av trumas meiser, and he tells ba'omid v'machshava. So these two points now are true also regarding trumas meiser. Okay. Now we're going to go one step further now. Because so far, all we have established is that for both Truma and Trumas Meiser, you don't need exact numbers. Eyeballing is fine. And you don't even need to verbalize, meaning a simple machshava. In other words, I simply look at it and I say, I don't even have to say. I just simply think. This part's going to go to the Kohen, the rest of it's going to stay by me. And same thing is true with the Levi, with his Meiser. This part, right, this is about 10%. This part's going to go to the Kohen, the rest is going to stay by me, and you don't even have to articulate. Okay. Now, all that's well and good. But we have to go one step further than that. Why? Because we're talking about Maiser Behema. Now, Maiser Behema is not, first of all, it doesn't have nothing to do with grains. But even if you want to compare it to grains, which we did earlier, right? We did in the very beginning of the Perek. But what kind of tithing are we going to compare it to? Not Truma, but Maiser. Right? Maiser Behema is analogous to Maiser Dagon. Right? We made that analogy earlier. Right. In other words, right, that second tithing that you take off.
Yeah, because it goes to himself.
Right. Which, no, well, that's Maiser Sheni. Meaning, I'm talking about just simply after Truma. Meaning, after Truma, then the next thing that goes is Maiser Rishon. That Maiser Rishon, that's going to go either to, I'm not either, that's going to a Levi.
Yeah.
Good.
But when Maiser Behema goes to himself.
Maiser Behema stays by yourself, but just the idea of what, if I'm going to make any analogy Meiser Behema is analogous to what? Not Truma. If anything, it's analogous to Meiser Dagon, right, meaning the 10% that goes to the Levi. You're right. It's different.
Because it's its own consumption.
Agreed. But at least if I'm making any analogy, mechanism, that's the analogy.
Mechanism is the same.
Right. So now what the Gemara has to do now is go one step further, meaning Truma could be taken by Omid HaMachshava. Truma's Meiser could be taken by Omid HaMachshava. But that's just Truma. And now the Gemara goes to the next step. And that is Umaisi Kari Rachmana Truma. You know, Meiser also is called Truma. Meaning it's fair to say Meiser also at times is termed Truma. Dechsiv ki as Meiser b'nei Yisrael asher yarimu l'Hashem Truma nasati l'levim l'nachala. We go back to Parshas Korach, and there the Torah almost spells it out. The Torah says that I take off the Meiser and give it to the Levi. But look what the Torah refers to it as. Truma. Right? Truma just simply means portion that I take off. Okay. The Itkish Meiser Behema Meiser Dagon. And then we go back to the Hekesh that we made the very beginning of the Perek. So my Meiser Dagon Nito Ba'omed Uv'machshava Af Meiser Behema Nito Ba'omed Uv'machshava. So now, I'm going to go 3 for 3. In other words, Truma can be taken off Ba'omed Uv'machshava. Just for simply approximating and without actually articulating. Just simply a machshava. Same thing is true with Trumas Meiser. Same thing now we're going to say regarding Meiser Dagon. And now we're going to have a Hekesh, and the same thing is going to be true with Meiser Behema.
And it's not a double Hekesh?
And it may be. Yeah, but it's double Hekesh is only a no-no when it comes to Kachim.
Meiser Behema. Mm.
I mean, you said it. I didn't say it, but I like it though. No, I like it. I like that. I like that thinking. Okay, share with you an interesting question. Tosfos over here on the daf asked this question. It's really interesting. You know, on Shabbos you're not to take off Trumas and Meisers, right? So, why not? Meaning, what's the issue? I'm just talking in general now. We're leaving the world of Meiser Behema. We're just going to regular. You're misaken, right? So it's a tikkun. So you're making some sort of correction, right? And it's like you're fixing something, and so therefore you're not allowed to take off Trumas and Meisers on Shabbos. Okay.
So maybe Makeh
B'Patish? Something along those lines. Or a rabbinic form of Makeh B'Patish, right? Something along those lines. So Tosfos wonders, you know, according to Rav Elazar ben Gomel, according to Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, so how do you take off Trumas and Meisers? Doesn't even require an action. Meaning, Trumas and Meisers can be separated simply with nothing more than just a machshava. Right? Doesn't require an action. And so, wonders Tosfos, if that's true, so you're talking about something which on Shabbos doesn't even require an action. So it should be prohibited on Shabbos?
There's no action.
Right. You're right. I understand it's an intent, but on Shabbos you're allowed to think. Right? I mean, I don't know if this is going to be I don't know if this is going to be a fair way to ask a question, but when we sing on Shabbos, we say, Hir Hurim Utarim. In other words, you're allowed to think on Shabbos, and you're also allowed to make Shiduchim as well. But I'm saying, but you're allowed to think on Shabbos. Okay, so this is not me asking this question, this is Tosfos asking this question. So if you look, Tosfos b'machshava, right? The first part of Tosfos, he basically goes through, what does it mean, machshava? It means, he quotes Rashi, no senena b'tzadzeh, l'shem truma, v'ocha b'tzadzeh. All you need to do is just simply, you don't have to say anything. You just look at one side of the produce, so the grain, and say, that part's going to be truma, and the rest of it now is going to be, you know, for me. Right, fill in the blank, meaning my sarishon, and my sasheni, so forth and so on. Okay? But you don't have to do anything. So now jump down in Tosfos. Just keep going down. V'im Tomar. It's about 5 lines before Tosfos comes to a conclusion. Okay? V'im Tomar. Kevin to Sharin and Shuma al Yado, no sinena bezeh, sad zeh, v'och b'tzad zeh, b'tzad acher, amai ein magbiin trumos or maestros b'yom tov. So here, a great question. He asks about Yantav. Yantav Shabbos in this regard is going to be the same. Just Yontov, you could do more Ochel Nefesh. So I guess that's why he's asking about Yontov. Also, maybe because the Gemara is that prohibitor in Beitza, so maybe that's why he's asking about Yantiv. Okay, but still, great question. So if all you need to do is just a simple machshava, so why is it prohibited on Shabbos? Hatanam perak nota malan hamaduma bechen omeya uparach v'hamisake nushani rav lazar rav shimon hidamar no sinetsa ena b'tzadzeh v'ocha b'tzadzeh. In fact, Tosus' question is so good that the Gemara quotes, where is this Gemara? Right? The Gemara's in Shabbos? Yeah. So the Gemara in Shabbos says that if all that's required is just a simple machshava, so that should be fine on Shabbos or on Yontif. So Tosus wonders, if that's true, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, so you should be able to take off Trumas HaMaisos on Shabbos if all it requires is a machshava. And Yeshlamer Medumashani, Shekvar Nitkan. So Tosos makes the following suggestion. Okay, apologize for having taken your seat. You'll get it back tomorrow, I promise. So Tosos makes the following suggestion. That the Gemara that allows machshava to be done on Shabbos is not with real hafrashas truma. Meaning over there, that's talking just simply about meduma. Remember what meduma is? It means that you have truma, and it gets mixed in with chulin, and on Shabbos, what you could do now is, with machshava, you could separate the two. But there, all you're doing is just separating the truma from the chulin. Here, it's real tevel. Meaning Tevel from the very beginning is Aser in its entirety. And it will not be permitted until you take off Trumas HaMaisos. So even as a Machshava, but still, you're rectifying. Meaning you're making a significant Tikkun with that Machshava. So Tosos makes a suggestion that because we are talking here about real Tevel, not just Meduma, so therefore you can't do it even on Shabbos, even though it only requires a Machshava. Okay? So that's Tosus' suggestion, although the question certainly is extraordinarily intriguing. Okay, back to the Gemara. Amar Rava, okay? And back to Maaser Behema. All right, so what have we seen so far? Maaser Behema, so the mission over here gave us the formula, the format. What you do is you count. 9 animals come out. You count 1 through 9. 10th animal comes out. The best mitzvah to do is with your staff. The best mitzvah is to count when the 10th one comes out. Stroke it with a red marker, right, with a red paintbrush. And that's how you count to number 10. Now the Gemara quotes Rava Amar Rava. Asire me'elav hu kadosh. Okay. So Rava says that when it comes to the 10th animal, 10th animal becomes kadosh automatically. Now what does automatically mean over here? Me'elav?
9 came out, and 1 is left. That's
okay.
What's left, no?
Good. So could simply be, take a look at Rashi over here. Me'elav she'imana, correction of Rashi, right? Yeah, take out the word asiri. She'imana v'nishtayir asiri badir. And then you count 1 through 9.
Right.
And there's one animal left in the pen.
That's it.
Okay, we all know. That's number 10. Okay?
There could be 12.
Well, understood. But let's just imagine for a moment. 9 come out, you count 1 through 9, and then the last one in the pen is now number 10. So what Rava now is arguing is that animal now has kedushas meister behema. Alpha pishalo yatzav alo mano kadosh me'elav. Even though you didn't count it, it's going to have kedusha. So in other words, what you could have argued before Rava comes on the scene is that, minyan, you have to count. In fact, counting is so important that with exception to the last Tana of the Mishnah, if you don't count, it doesn't work. So if you have to count the animals, you can only imagine the argument is that you should have to count number 10 as well.
You have to say it.
Right. Meaning number 10 will have kedusha, right? Only when I say this is number 10. And what Rav is teaching us is no. Once you get to 10, actually saying the word 10 is not ma'akev.
Right.
Okay. Good. But that's a
10, right?
Understood. But it's a big chiddush. Right. Meaning, okay.
So it's 10th by default.
It's 10th by default. Okay? And Menale, and the Gemara now says, it's such a big chiddush, Menale the Rav HaHa. Yeah, so Rav, where did you get that from? I mean, that's a big chiddush. So, Ile Mamahad Tanya, so the Gemara now is going to spend the rest of today's daf, nearly, trying to understand where did Rav get the salacha from? Because it really is a big chiddush. So, Menale HaHa, so where does he get it from? Ilema mahaditanya ainli ela shikarishmo asiri. Lo karishmo asiri minayin. So the Brisa pretty much says it. Brisa says, what if I didn't call number 10, number 10? Minayin tamalomar asiri ye kodesh mikol makom. Okay, and that's a Brisa. So that would be sound to be an excellent support for Rava, but the Gemara says it's not an absolute support. V'dilma, asiri hu de lo kare, kadosh karye. The Gemara says, well, maybe the Brisa is talking about a scenario where I didn't say the number 10. But maybe I said something. Maybe I said something like it's kadosh. But Rav is saying much more than that. Rav is saying, even if I say nothing, and according to Rashi's understanding, even if it doesn't even come out of the pen, but it's last man standing, it's the only one there, it's still going to have Kedusha, Kadosh Me'elav. And that's a big Kiddush. And what the Gemara is now looking for is, give me a Brisa or a source that supports that idea, that it has Kedusha Me'elav. So Elamei had the time, so the Gemara is going to quote now another Brisa, Karlachi Asiri. So here, going to touch on some of these cases, although tomorrow really we'll spend almost the entire morning talking about cases like this. Detanya Valentin Abraisa, Karlachi Asiri, Vyatsa Asiri, Velo Diber. So what happens? Number 9 comes out, and it's really early in the morning, and he lost his count. And he. So what he did is, number 9, he looked at it and he said, that's number 10. So Karlachi Asiri, Vyatsa Asiri, now comes the 10th animal. Velo diber, and he said nothing. This is still a brisa. Hachi nechal b'mumo. So the 9th animal now has elevated kedusha. Nechal b'mumo. You have to wait till it gets a blemish because it has kedusha. The asiri maaser. And what about the 10th animal? 10th animal's maaser. Even though you said nothing. Okay. Again.
He didn't count. When the 9th came on, he hadn't said 9, he just went from 8 to 10.
He went straight from 8 to 10. He made a leap.
But the thing is, doesn't the 10th one have to be based on the 9th one? Don't you have to say 9 before you say 10 for it to be really the...
So as we're going to learn tomorrow, the Gemara tomorrow is going to give us all of our sources. The 9th has eligibility for Kedusha, but only when you call it number 10, like in this scenario over here. And as we'll learn tomorrow as well, the 11th also has eligibility for Kedusha. There is possibility for 9 and 11 to be kadosh if it's triggered.
But the thing isn't the counting based on going up one by one? What if you went 2, 4, 6, 8?
Good,
like Sfila.
Correct. All excellent questions. It's really going to primarily be based on drushas. Meaning, you're right. From a logic standpoint, it doesn't make any sense. He didn't count number 9. So why number 9 should have kedusha if he calls it number 10? He didn't even count number 9. Okay, so that's an excellent question. But in the meantime, however, let's just assume it as a fact, as a halachic fact. So he called number 9, number 10. So that means it's going to have Kedusha. He called number 10 nothing. He said nothing. And so Brisa says number 10 has Kedusha. This seems to support Rava. And the Gemara says not necessarily. The Dilma Shani Hasam, the Ivraleir Asiri, Inami de Achve Ilave. So the Gemara says, well, no. Because number 1, it was selected. Number 2, says the Gemara, he pointed to it. You see, Rav is saying much more than all of this. Rav is saying Kadosh Me'elav. Kadosh Me'elav means without me doing anything, without it even coming out of the pen. Meaning 9 animals come out, and there's the 10th animal just sitting in the pen by itself. Rav says that has Kedusha. To that degree, we have not seen anything yet, meaning in the 2 brises that we've seen so far, that supports Rava's Chiddush. It's not an issue of witnesses, it's just an issue of, will the animal receive Kedusha with me doing absolutely nothing? And what the Gemara is now arguing is that in this brisa, I didn't do absolutely nothing. First of all, I'm counting. Second of all, 10th animal came out. Third of all, I pointed to it. So there's a lot more going on over here than what Rava's suggesting. Rava's suggesting it will be kadosh, even with nothing. Even with me doing nothing.
So when he said I pointed to it, he said what? He said what?
Maybe
he said one?
I'm not sure. I'm unsure.
I think it's just a matter of the fact that it's a 10 because it was number 10 and it just came out.
Right, but
I didn't have to say anything.
Yeah, but something happened, though. Meaning, I understand. You may not have counted it correctly, but something happened. Rav is saying that it will have Kedusha Sasiri, even if nothing happened.
Right.
So we don't have...
Pointed,
correct. So we don't have... Right. To this moment, we don't have anything that clearly supports Rava. So Elam had the times the Gemara quoted now another brisa. Karalachi Asiri Umes Asiri Bedir. Okay. Following scenario. Again, strange scenarios, but all this to make a point. Ninth animal comes out. Again, it's early in the morning, and you went straight from 8 to 10. And so you call this animal now number 10. Okay. And then to compound the issue, in the pen was the 10th animal, and it died. Umes Asiri Bedir. So now the 10th animal never made a show. Okay. Chi necha b'mumo. Now, here's the issue. Meaning the 9th animal is going to have kedusha, and you're going to have to wait till it gets a blemish and eat it with its blemish. Okay? Because you called number 9, number 10. All right, that's fine. Kulan peturin. But here's the issue. This is interesting. Listen to this. You didn't have 10 animals come out. 10 animals didn't come out of the pen.
Right.
Now, you can only say, meaning... Once you, let me take one step backwards. The whole point of Meiser Behema is to that every 10th animal should be Kadosh. What about the other 9? They're now free and clear. Meaning just like in the world of Meiser, when I take off Meiser, the rest of the food now becomes edible. Here too, not to the same degree, we talked about this in the beginning of the Perek, but here too, when I count 10 animals, now the first 9 are free and clear. Meaning that now they're, you know, so to say, I paid my taxes on it, so to say.
Even though you didn't really pay.
Right.
Right.
So in this case over here, you understand the issue now? You didn't have 10 animals come out.
Right.
You only had 9 animals come out. And that 9th animal, you called number 10. Okay, but that's your mistake.
Right.
But in reality, 10 animals did not come out. And what the Bryce is teaching us is that, but still, the 8 animals prior to number 9...
Right.
Are going to be now free and clear. They're putter.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to now go into another pen and be counted again.
Right.
Okay, right. Now,
so there was never really a full count.
Right, right. Now, don't be distracted right now because all this, the reason why we brought the Brisa in is to try to support Rava and Kadosh Mei Elav. But while we're here, while we're on the Brisa, I just want to explain to you like why it is a big deal. That the first 8 animals that come out now are free and clear, even though 10 animals didn't come out.
What if 4 came out and the remaining 6 died?
Right. Okay, so just wait 1 second, because I will have a definitive answer in just a moment. So, my time of kulam peturin lav mishum de karish le ethiri. So, the Gemara now wants to understand why. Why are the first 8 animals that come out, why are they free and clear? So, the Gemara says, I think I know the answer. The answer is because that 10th animal, even though it didn't come out of the pen, and even though you didn't point to it, and even though nothing happened, but Kadosh Me'elav.
Oh, only one left.
And there was only one left. And it's because Rava's right, because Kadosh Me'elav. Now, if all we're saying is correct, perfect. Now I have an excellent way to understand the Brisa. But if I, automatic Kedusha. But if I don't subscribe to Rava's rule of Kadosh Me'elav, how do the first 8 animals, how are they free and clear?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good question.
What about because there's only 9 left?
There were 10 altogether.
So now that one's dead, you can't even
begin. No, but you get Kudus before it dies.
Again, the scenario is 8 animals come out, you count it correctly 1 through 8. 9th animal comes out, and you called it number 10.
And then the
10th before it comes out dies. Okay?
So
9 has Kedusha because you called it number 10.
Right.
But the part that's, and that part's interesting in of itself. But right now, what we want to focus on is, what about those first 8 animals? The Bryce says they're free and clear. Why are they free and clear?
If they weren't free and clear, what would you do to them?
You'd have to put it back in the pen and count them again.
No, with another...
Later in the year.
Oh,
meaning they're still, they still need to be taxed.
Right.
Okay. They're still considered pre-tax dollar. Okay, I'll speak to the accounting side of you. So that's what I would have said, and the Brisa says no, they're free and clear.
It shows automatically.
Okay, so what the Gemara now wants to do is use this to support Rava.
Mm-hmm.
Rava says, "Oh, I get it. It's because the Gemara is advancing it for Rava. It's because number 10 has kedusha,
yeah.
Even though you didn't point to it, even though nothing happened." Gemara says, "Vidilma." The Yitzir V'minyan Hara'oi. So the Gemara says no. And Ben, this will answer your question. The Gemara says no. I'll give you another explanation as to why the first 8 animals are free and clear. because of this concept of minyan ha-ra'ui. Minyan ha-ra'ui means they were fit to be counted. You had 10 in the pen. They were fit to be counted. If they were fit to be counted, so every animal that comes out now, when I say one, and it was part of 10, that animal now is free and clear. Now when I count two and that comes out of the pen, that's free and clear. So Ben, if I had four come out, and I counted one, two, three, four, and there were six in the pen, outside those four, so that this those six will be free and clear, based on this concept of minyan haroi. Now, by the way, interesting. Who teaches us this rule of minyan haroi? Rava. So it's kind of like, not on purpose, but Rava trips himself. Meaning because of this other concept of Rava, of what's called minyan haroi, so you can't prove the first concept of Rava, which is kadosh me'ela. Da'ama Rava, minyan haroi, potter. Okay, so one more time now. We'll come back to this minyan haroi. That's such an interesting concept. Okay, we'll come back to it a little bit later, probably tomorrow. But right now, let's go back to our first point of Rava. Kadosh me'ela. Remember, Rava says nine animals come out. The tenth animal, according to Rava, will have kedusha, even if it just stays there. Okay. So where does Rava get this halacha from? So we've tried now one, two, three. We've tried three times already now to try to bring a proof for Rava. The Gemara now is going to try again. Elamei ha'detanya, we learned another braisa, karaluchi asiri. Okay, again, ninth animal comes out, and you call the number 10. V'nishtayi asiri bedir. And the tenth animal stays in the pen. Hachi'i ne'echa b'mumo. The ninth animal will have to, it has kedusha. You have to wait till it gets a blemish. V'ha'asiri ma'aser. And the tenth animal is ma'aser. Good. That, even if it didn't come out, even if you didn't mark it, the tenth animal is ma'aser. Atanya chi chulin. So the Gemara now quotes another braisa. The other braisa says that the ninth animal has no kedusha whatsoever. So tini tana kamad to Rav Sheshes. Hamani Rav Shimon member of Yehuda. He did tani Rav Shimon of Yehuda. Amar Yishimon Rav Shimon. So the Gemara says, look, that second braisa that you quoted for me, that second braisa agrees with Rabbi Shimon. Af hachi'i eino kadosh. Rabbi Shimon says the ninth animal will not have kedusha. Meaning we've been assuming and will continue to assume after we learn Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara is not going to agree with Rabbi Shimon, but Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that the ninth animal has no eligibility for kedusha whatsoever. Even when I point to the ninth animal, even when I say it's the tenth, according to Rabbi Shimon, nine never will have kedusha, even in a miscount. Okay, and the Gemara simply says, and we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon. So afchi and kadosh alim kain nekar shame asiri hemenu, unless says Rabbi Shimon, 10 is nekar, meaning 10 gets uprooted. Meaning, according to Rabbi Shimon, 9 will only have kedusha if 10 is not counted as 10. Okay.
You mean when the 10 comes out, he calls it 9.
Why does it mean by uprooted? What does it mean by uprooted?
Uprooted means that when number 10 comes out, I simply say it's I didn't count it, or I counted number 9, or let's just say it simple. Let's just simply say I didn't count it. Meaning,
if you don't have 10, you don't count it.
Again, you have to go back to the idea of there were 10 in the pen to begin with. Otherwise, it's not right.
But if you're saying something,
okay, well, I'll tell you what. Let me navigate our way through Rabbi Shimon, because really, it's tangential to the main point. The main point is Rava's point, that Kedusha me'elav. But as long as we're here, as long as the Gemara brought up Rabbi Shimon, so let's just go through it. And now the Gemara is going to make an argument. Why should it be? Why should it be that that number 9 will have Kedusha only when number 10 is uprooted? Hadin Nosein. He says, because look, let's make the following argument. Because look at number 11. Now, we didn't discuss this yet, but 11 also has eligibility. In fact, 11 has more eligibility than 9. Have you noticed every time we talked about a miscount by number 9? Every single time, what do we say? Wait till it develops a blemish.
Mm-hmm. Right, so it's kind of...
How come the Gemara never said, offer it as a carbon? Because 9 has limited eligibility. Mm-hmm. It can receive kedusha, but not full-fledged Meiser Behema kedusha. Meaning kedusha so that you have to wait till it gets a blemish and then eat it with its blemish. But not Maisa Behema Kedusha. 11 has more eligibility. 11, if you miscount, could be a Meister Behema animal. So now, with that piece of information, armed with that piece of information, now watch. So Ella Imke Nekar Shem Asiri Hemenu Chi Shein Osa Kedusha Likarev Eno Din Shem Nekar Shem Asiri Hemenu In Ilo Lo. So if 11, which has more eligibility, only will be qualified only if 10 is uprooted. 9, which has less eligibility, only will receive Kedusha if 10 is uprooted. The Gemara says, I'm not thrilled with this argument. Tiano Senes. Like the Gemara says, I could take the same exact argument and just turn it around. It's exactly for that reason. Because 11 can be brought as a carbon, 11 will only be brought as a carbon when I don't count number 10 as number 10. But but 9, which at best will only have modified Kedusha, maybe 9 will have Kedusha even if I don't uproot number 10. Afagav de lo nakar shem asiri himenu. Inami, Gemara says, if you can go with that argument, or I'll give you another reason why you can argue. Acharasar di ivrele asiri, inekar shem asiri himenu in ilo lo. Look, to get to number 11, you had to have bypassed number 10. Meaning, right, just simple realities of counting. I can't get to 11 without first having number 10. So 11 only will have Kedusha only if I miss 10. But number 9, I can get to 9 before 10. Usually that's how it works. Right? Usually. So the Gemara is saying that for 11, you have to uproot 10. For 9, you don't necessarily have to uproot 10. And the Gemara says, and you know what? Really, the conversation's over. Right? Sulamidi is such an excellent punctuation of the Gemara, like, okay, we're done. We are... And by the way, we're done. We're finished conversing, meaning the Gemara just simply doesn't accept Rabbi Shimon. But to the point, however, which the Gemara wanted to prove, on that the Gemara seemed very conclusive, meaning Rava says the 10th animal of Kedusha Me'elav. What does that mean? So as Rashi explained, I count 9 animals and the 10th animal is just sitting in the pen. And for whatever reason, I don't count it, it doesn't come out of the pen, it will still receive Kedusha. The Gemara wants to know, do we have a support for Rava? So we tried a number of brisas. None of them were conclusive. This last brisa seems to be conclusive. Last brisa that we just quoted, meaning take Rabbi Shimon's position out of the discussion, which the Gemara ends up rejecting anyway, but take Rabbi Shimon's position out of the discussion, and it sounds like what happened in the brisa? I called number 9-10, and the 10th animal still in the pen. The 10th animal will have Kedusha. That seems to be a support for Rava. Okay, and we'll stop over here. Okay, so today we finished up the first part of the discussion of counting and the basic process of Minyan Maisa Behema, the first halacha of Rava of Kadosh Me'elav. Tomorrow we start with the second halacha of Rava of Minyan Haraui, and we're almost finished.
Can I get somebody just to stay for another moment or so? Can I trouble you to read a Mishnah, like the first line of the Mishnah, either of Rosh Hashanah or Yuma?
Perfect.
So just kind of pick an iconic Mishnah.
This is iconic.
Yes. Something that would be reflected.
Stuart, give me an iconic Mishnah.
It'd be nice if people who recognize what we're at the team would recognize that.
Rosh Hashanah were the ones.
Okay.
Rosh
Hashanah. Okay. We're basically doing it on Rosh Hashanah anyway,
yeah.
Right now.
Yeah,
I need everyone will sign waivers afterwards as well. Just to be clear, by the way, I learned about this yesterday, so I can be faulted for not giving advanced warning.
Nothing
here is rehearsed. So my new friend Rabbi Kramer from Baltimore. Oh, you can catch up with him with your Baltimore. So this is for the Siyum HaShas for August. Right. There's a lot of electronic equipment over here. So we can all become world famous. It's so funny because every time we go to a game, my kids are, sitting there jumping up and down in order to go on the Jumbotron.
And
I'm
sitting
as I learned.
You're going to be famous without doing
Jumbotron and a live telecaster in the world.
Correct.
All right.
Okay.
Whenever you're ready, whenever you'd like.
What'd you say, Stuart? The second Mishnah?
The second Mishnah.
segment of, you know, Tolbo at Olam, which is...
Yeah, go ahead. You don't have to stay. You don't have to stay for this. In fact, doctor, I prefer not to stay for this as well. But okay. Okay. Thank everybody for everyone's patience and for putting up with all the photography, the flash photography that went on today. Okay, is my tie? Fine. Oh, even better. Okay, where do you want me to look? Out to the world. Okay, Abba Rosh Hashanah Heim. There are four new years to the year. Be'echad, be'Nisan, on the first day of Nisan, Rosh Hashanah Melachim. Ula Regalim. So the first day of Nisan is the first day for Melachim, which the Gemara is going to explain, means that whenever you sign any documents, you need to date it by whoever is the current king of the time. Ula Regalim, and as far as Yontifs are concerned, so also the first Yontif is going to be Pesach. So that means that if you made a neder, you will now be required to lo se acher, not delay the neder, which means that your count is going to start from Nisan, from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Be'echa be'elo Rosh Hashanah la'maiser behema. Rosh, the first day of Elo is going to be Rosh Hashanah for Maiser behema. When you tithe your animals, you're going to need to make sure that this year's animals don't get mixed up with last year's animals. When is Rosh Chodesh? When is Rosh Hashanah for that? First day of Elul, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, Be'echa B'Tishrei. And Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's the first day of Tishrei. Remember what Ben Azai says? Yeah, you remember what Ben Azai says. I don't know who's right. Be'echa B'Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim.
I don't want to stop you, but I got it.
Perfect. Six. It's my, what did we say, 15 minutes of fame? I get 6 seconds of fame. I understand. How many bearded stars do you know? after Chuck Norris, I think it's done. You're done. Okay. All right. Rabbi Kramer, what a pleasure. Oh, that's funny. All that was recorded on today's daf.